Great A's. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Yep, here we go. Another Glory Days, another PJ and Jim podcast. Welcome along, folks. Welcome indeed to the ice house that is. I feel like I'm on location in, in deepest, darkest Antarctica. Is that the cold one?
They're both cold.
Grand.
Either poles. They're both cold. Antarctica and the Arctic Circle. They're both very cold.
Well, I feel like I'm in both of them.
One has penguins and one has polar bears. That's me and Jim all over. The environment's the same, but one of us is a penguin and the other's a polar bear.
That's true.
You know, that's
which
the
one
thing.
Of them feels the cold? The penguin, I assume.
Well, I don't actually. No, I'd say.
I know technically I'm regarded. Well, you've made it out that I'm hairier.
Yeah.
Which is not true, by the way. I mean, okay, look, I am a little bit hairier than you.
I'd say in this analogy, not just because Jim is, overall woollier than me, but I think you are the polar bear. You're more of a solitary animal, fighting for survival, living on whatever comes across your way. Life is harsh in this environment.
I do lumber.
Yeah, whereas I'm kind of waddling around with lots of support. Me mates.
Millions of people,
When you're
community helping you.
Yeah, when you're up there hunting and all, I'm out for the swim. You try to avoid some aggressive seals from time to time. That's all right, But in this analogy, I think that's right. I'm more of a pack animal. Reaching for support.
Yeah. Which is kind of extraordinary.
You're more on your own going,
that's...
Oh, fuck it! It's freezing!
That is sad. That is sadly accurate. Wouldn't that be amazing, though? I know that was an old gag years ago, but wouldn't it be amazing if polar bears were going around going, Jesus Christ, it's so cold!
Freezing.
But it's weird, though, because you'd say that I'd be the loner, because you famously... I mean, everybody who's listened to this show over the years will have heard you say that literally the thing you want to be done more than anything is to be left alone.
I know, it's just, you see, I'm very vocal about it, whereas Jim subtly just goes, if I say nothing, they might just do it, This is the thing. Jim's polite. Jim is a nice man. No one's ever accused me of that. Jim is actually a nice man.
Accused you of it?
Yeah. No one's ever says, you're fucking nice. No one's ever done that. People say that to Jim all the time. You're a lovely fella.
Could you make it really clear? You don't want people to phone you. That's an absolute no-no.
Well,
you don't want people to ever knock on your door. That's catastrophic.
Well, this is it. Kelly says to me, we need to get a Ring doorbell that we can record. I was there, so I can see the person I'm not answering the door to. It's the fucking point.
Yeah, hey, information is king, buddy.
Now I can see. I don't care who's out there. Yeah.
Yeah, and when it comes to any form of interaction, really, being approached.
Yeah.
You'd much prefer it didn't happen unless you were the one to initiate it.
Well, that's true. Although, here's where we differ.
Right.
How do we differ? Here's how we differ. So, I don't like that, connecting on those levels, right? Whereas actually you kind of do. If you meet good friends or people, family, your sons, you have one-to-ones and a few pints and like that, I couldn't be fucking arsed with any of that.
Whereas what you hate
is making small talk, trying to make people feel comfortable, Whereas I actually don't mind small talk. I'll stand in a spa and talk about the price of Easter eggs with a man I've never met for an hour. No problem.
Right.
And then I'll come back and say, you won't believe what's after happening there. I don't mind meeting Egypt. So here's an example. I was out with the twins the other day for a walk, right?
Right.
And a man says, twins, is it? And I went, yeah. And he goes, two girls and a boy, is it? And I went, yeah. So I just said, yeah.
Brilliant. Was he intending the joke or was he
he obviously thought two girls and then changed his mind. And he was already in it. Two girls and a boy, is it? Twins. And I said, yeah. And then I spoke to him for about maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's mad, isn't it? Half the road fucked here all together and we were giving out about that. And then, and then he said something about bowls and I says, it's just gone to shite. And he says, everything's gone to shite. And we all went off. Whereas that would do your head in now. You'd be there, I'm fucking something to be. And I'm not there entertaining this guy. And you'd be I'll go home now and she'd be tearing the hair out of me and all because I was after me. I was after him for 20 minutes. And you'd be asking him questions and all. To try and make him feel calm.
Make him feel like I cared about what he had to say.
Whereas when I run out of steam in those conversations, I just go quiet.
You just walk away.
And he'd go, so what do you think? And I just go,
well, see, that's amazing because I would have thought that because you normally hate boring people.
Yeah.
And you're always giving
out
that...
I do hate Bond.
But that's what I'm saying.
People who won't interact.
When you say about small talk, I mean, like, remember that famous one where I got cornered by the bloke who wanted to talk to me about generators?
This flute, yeah. And you pretended to...
And he's actually a really nice fella.
But doesn't matter. He's talking about generators.
You know, like, and literally, even I, that, you know, would absolutely... Whatever that expression is about, you know, I'd go through all sorts of pain to make somebody not feel, you know, embarrassed or self-conscious about themselves.
Because you're a nice man.
Even then, I couldn't hack it, and I had to go. I had to knock it on the head. I had to get out of there. He said, "I don't know whether you know about how generators work," right? And that was the line.
You're like, "I'm out."
That was the line.
I'm gone,
I had to fake a phone call or something.
Yeah.
And get out of there. Are you saying you'd have been able to endure that?
No, but you see, this is the thing. I don't mind boring people if we're interacting. I don't mind that.
Right.
When someone's boring and they're like asking me to be boring back, I'm all for that. I've no problem with that. You know what I mean? For football, your man kicked the ball. Did you see that? I did see that. Yeah, it was a brutal kick. It was a terrible kick. I was devastated when they lost, but I was delighted when they won. And then there was boring.
So talking without saying anything is where you specialise.
But when a fella comes up to me and goes, "So how fuel works is the aerodynamic efficiency is," I have nothing to do with this.
Right.
I have nothing to do with it. He doesn't give a fuck what I think about this.
Right. Then where do you stand on your man, right? Where do you stand on your man who said to you, "Come here, right? Tell you what, right? Who'd win, right? Between a gorilla and a crocodile?" No, leave that with you, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, now you've made a good point because I hated him as well. Because he was actually trying to interact.
Because you could have interacted and you could have went, "Well, now, gorilla. Oh, it's a good question."
I'll tell you why. Because when I interacted, it still wasn't good enough. So he gives me Hild Wayne, right? A gorilla. And whatever it was, a Bengal tiger. I can't remember the other animal, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, "Hild Wayne? I'm asking you now, Hild Wayne?" And I said, "I don't know." And he says, "I'm not going to tell you. It's on BBC at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. Watch it and come back to me," he goes. I was like, "I am never going to finish it. I don't even watch the one." Now he's put pressure on me.
You'd emigrate rather than the fear of meeting him again and him saying, "No, did you watch that?"
And he got here because I knew. Did the person win that you thought would win? For a start, they're not people. They're not people.
Yeah.
You know, it's stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It was like... Harrison Ford was asked during the week how celebrity affects his life. It was asked, right? And he said, most of the time, in fairness, he didn't play the poor mouth. He said, "It's fantastic being a celebrity. I'm rich. I get looked after. I've access to things most people don't. I love it. But some people are fucking idiots," right?
Right.
He said he went to see his
doctor. Is that an exact quote?
No. He said some people are idiots. He went to go to an MRI scan, right? Oh, and they put him in, you know the way you listen to music, right?
Don't say it.
And he put on the thing and put him into the machine. And as he was going into the machine... And he was like, "This is stupid."
Jesus Christ.
And then he came out and the doctor asked him, "Who'd win in a fight, Indiana Jones or Han Solo?" And he said, "I would. I'd win in a fight because, you know what? I'm fucking both of them. I'm fucking both of them." And that's a stupid fucking question.
Oh,
of all the things we could talk about, that's what you
and
do.
Of all
they're fictional people.
Of all the places, it's one thing if you're walking down the street and a mad fan... and you think, "Oh, Jesus, here's this nerd."
Some nerd.
But you're a doctor.
It's his whole life.
And an MRI and all. It's like he might have been, this might be important. Because Harrison Ford's not a young man.
Yeah.
Might have been important shit, you know what I mean? About his health and his future and all that.
Exactly.
And the doctor
is a machine.
Who'd win in a fight between Han Solo?
No, he's in a machine. He's about to find out if he's going to die. And there you are asking these questions.
Yeah. I just had a look at your chart there, right? It's not good. So before you go, who'd win in a fight between...
isn't it mad? This is the thing. Some things are just inappropriate. What the worst one I ever saw Jim caught out with, the worst one ever, right? And thankfully, the man had not much interest in me, so I got off the hook. But we were walking around, right? And we got offered a tour, right? Genuinely, this happened. We're walking around, a tour of a local butcher shop, right? Now, the thing is, you don't need a tour of a butcher shop. Everybody's allowed into a butcher shop. It's how you buy fucking sausages.
Yeah.
And he says...
But he wanted it to go behind the scenes.
So he wants... And he brought us up into his office, right? Into his office. And why a butcher shop has an office, I don't know. And then he says to Jim... Right, this is the best one. I used to do a bit of DJing myself, he goes. And starts going through his holiday photos of him. And he starts showing Jim pictures. And Jim was going, "Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant." And then I'm like, "I'll do my usual. Please don't ask him a question, please. And where did you do the DJ? And he was like, oh, fuck this. And then he got...
I tell you, we should have known because literally on that same day, right, we were with Mike that we used to work with, right?
Yeah.
And literally...
And he's like, Jim, very nice man.
Very nice fella, very nice fella. But you see, he took advantage of the fact there was three of us.
He did.
And he wasn't... So he literally... We only just walked in, right?
Yeah.
And your man immediately said the first thing about some ingredient that gets added to the sausages. And Mike went, jeez, lads, I have to go.
He took
and
us into a wardrobe.
Ran out.
He took us into a wardrobe where they stored the boxes.
Do you remember that
And he
one?
Goes, this is where this... we hold the spices. And Jim went, I have to fucking leg it, lads. I have to go. And he ran. And then we were two. And then we knew. No, neither one of us could leave.
That was it then. We were. Yeah. And you were. I mean, the best part about that is your ability to absolutely shut down.
Silence.
Is fucking incredible.
Silence.
Literally, yeah. You just...
I won't be rude, but I won't participate. I'll just try. I know I have to be quiet. To make an end. You just have to let him do his spiel and then say thank you very much and go home.
Yeah.
But I don't mind the silence. I'm used to silence. I'm used to people not talking to me. Jim's not used to it.
I feel bad for them.
Yeah, but in every circumstance, if Jim was in prison, right, and he was in, if they put Jim into isolation for something he didn't do, because he wouldn't have done it, right? They put him in, he's in isolation, he's in solitary confinement, and there was a guard just sitting outside the door, to make sure that he had no interference or no one was giving him drugs. Jim would still be inside going, so you're having a good day anyway. I'd say this is doing your head in. You know, at least you get to get out of here.
Listen, do you want me to mind myself? Yeah. I mean, you probably have better things to be doing.
Honestly, I won't talk to you if you don't want to know. Just do your own thing. I won't tell anyone you fucked off. That'll be Jim. Trying to make it easy on the guard.
Fucking hell.
It would be, yeah.
Oh, my God.
If you want to take a break or anything, I won't say anything to anyone. You go get a Mars bar, so I won't even ask for any of it. Sure, Sure, it's my fault I'm in here in the first place.
Yeah.
If I hadn't known I would have put you out, I wouldn't have got locked up in the first place.
Yeah. Oh, my God, almighty.
I'm going to have a shite now, so if you want to leave, in case the smell comes under the door...
Oh, God almighty.
I'm not supposed to talk to you. I know.
Yeah, you're going to have to become a bit of a guru or something. You're going to have to, like, because we've a few times over the years, we've talked about how...
You're also the only lad who'd be in solitary confinement. And when they came to let you out, they go, right, have you learned your lesson? You go, nearly. Could you give me another 2 days?
I'll tell you something. There are times where if somebody said to you, I'm going to have to put you in solitary confinement.
Yeah.
And you're, oh, right. How long for?
Yeah.
Well, we're thinking of... You're probably going to have to do a week.
Long stretch.
Yeah. Right.
Ooh.
Just saying, like, would a fortnight be out of the question?
Yeah. Or could...
No.
Could you either give me 2 weeks or just let me do the week next week because there's a wedding I've been dying to get out of.
Because you used to say you appreciated that as well. The idea that when you steal a moment on... When you feel they're stealing a moment on the word, you know, like we say, the best pint you'll always have is that one where you feel nobody else is able to have it.
It's brilliant.
And you're there, you're on a day off or you whatever, it's finished early or you're something.
It's a quarter to one.
Absolutely.
And you're on your own.
Yeah.
And everyone, and you, if someone's cancelled on you, that always makes it better. You know, you're about to do something. Sorry, Jim, I can't make it. You know, something's come up. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry to let you down.
Yeah.
We'll have to do it another time. And you've already gone into town or something.
Yeah.
You're on your own. And then you see sandwiches are a tenner. And there's one lad behind the bar and he's not talking to anyone.
No. He resents the fact that you're even there.
And then you realise, match started 15 minutes ago.
Yeah. It's absolutely
and you're perfect. And you're the job.
And then the only thing that ruins it is, Jesus, fancy seeing you here.
Oh,
for the love.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get a point to come down to you. Like, fuck off.
That's it.
Hope your arse falls out with the bar.
It's like the most rhetorical question. The most rhetorical question that has ever existed is, someone have a join you?
I know.
Nobody ever fucking waits for the answer. Hey, they just literally, it's literally like their version of saying, how are you? Because it's don't want to join you. And they just fucking, they join you anyway.
I know.
They never wait for you to go, well, actually.
My ex-missus was great at that. You don't mind if I join you? We do, actually. And I'd be there eating me face. Oh, Christ. Ooh. And I'd be mortified.
Yeah.
And he'd be there, sorry. We do, actually, We're having a conversation. Oh, right. She was great. It was brilliant. Oh, right.
Yeah, because then they don't know what to do.
And they didn't know what to do.
Nobody's ever said that to them.
I was going to get you a point.
Because it's never been a question before.
I was going to get you a point. No, you're grand. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Right, okay, right. Well, fuck off then.
She sounds fantastic.
And people coming over when we're at the table, I'm sorry to bother you. You're not sorry though, are you?
Would she say that?
Yeah, she said it once. You're not sorry.
And this was when you were in the height of
We were sitting there having food.
Television.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt your meal. Yeah, but you're not sorry, and you are, aren't you? They'd be there. What?
Fucking brilliant.
Sorry, it's just that you said you're sorry, but you're not sorry.
You are interrupting the meal.
You didn't accidentally walk into the chair, did you? You fucking.
Man, I'd love to see that in action.
That was when I couldn't, you know. Oh. I was brilliant. And in the cinema now, people would be talking and I'd be giving dirty looks, you know.
Yeah.
They come here. Why do they have to talk and all? And I'd be annoying her. It wasn't fair on her.
So. But you wouldn't be saying it to the people.
But I wouldn't say it to them. So she'd go, hey, we didn't come here to listen to you talk, you fuckers. And I'd be sliding down the seat though. Ooh.
Oh, man.
She was brilliant.
Everybody
she was
needs
great
a person
to go,
like
oh,
that.
Oh, she was brilliant. Yeah.
Everybody needs
I miss
a person
that
like
now,
that.
I have to say, yeah.
Oh. Fucking hell. A protector. That's what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a bodyguard.
Bodyguard. Yeah.
Anyway, let's give you a few bits from during the week, shall we? Some of the bits and pieces we were talking about. Chocolate made an appearance during the week. Why? I don't know. Why were we talking about chocolate?
Because, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of reasons to run for election, but this man found his selling point in his manifesto.
Brilliant.
It involves chocolate. Yeah.
Love it. Also, funny enough, mentioning exes, spouses showed up during the week as well. We were talking about spouses.
Yeah.
John puts weird notes down and I never can relate them to what the story was.
Yeah, because like myself, I think he's a bit neurodivergent and he has a strange way of making notes. That doesn't always.
Yeah.
What so we see as the highlight.
It'll be a voyage of discovery for both of us then, as to what spouses was about.
About spouses, yeah.
Well, I do remember us talking about the snakes though, because there was one found in Cork.
This is a great story. Yeah. A great story, and it ends with. There might have been an alternative reason.
Exactly. I'm just saying, there's two sides to that story.
Make of
literally.
This what you will.
Exactly. And then again, funnily enough, speaking of exes and everything.
Yeah.
The topic, the controversial topic of your immersion switch came up in conversation during the week as well. Oh, I tell you, I would have always accepted that immersion switches were controversial.
Yeah.
Always, because it's like, you know, people give out about them and how long is that on? And but Mike, I didn't realise it went to this level.
This level that you actually have to have the state step in and make a decision on it. So, yeah. So there you are.
Have a listen to it. We'll talk to you the other side.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at
InsureMyVan.ie. You know, the whole political thing, right? You know what I mean? People become weary of it, don't they?
They do. There's no trust.
Exactly. There's no trust. So sometimes, honesty, even when it's weird kind of honesty,
I tell you,
can be seen as a good thing.
There's something to be said for achievable goals, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. So in Tasmania, the premier, the leader of Tasmania, which I didn't know there was one, I thought it was, you know, just run by Australians, such. Anyway,
right.
Tasmanian man himself, Mr. Rockliffe, they call him, and he has said, Mr. Jeremy Rockliffe, if he gets re-elected, right? He's on the election campaign at the moment. You need to make certain promises and be seen to follow them up if possible. And he says, don't you worry, I tell you one thing. If I get re-elected, I will build the largest chocolate fountain in the world. And I will put it in Tasmania. He says, I'm telling you now, it'll be as big a deal to tourism as the Museum for Modern Art. Which apparently is quite big in Tasmania.
That's what he's going on, the idea that it's a tourist attraction if he builds the largest chocolate fountain in the world.
He says, my chocolate experience would include a fountain, a premium fountain, a chocolate studio, a chocolate laboratory, a make-your-own chocolate bar emporium, a cafe, a playground, and so much more. He says, you just wouldn't believe the plans.
He's big on chocolate, obviously.
He's big on chocolate, this fella, yeah. He says he's going to rewrite the words must see when it comes to Tasmania. That Tasmania will become known for having the world's biggest chocolate fountain.
And has Tasmania got a bit of a chocolate history? Does anything chocolatey come from Tasmania?
Apart from the fact that Mr. Rockliffe himself loves, admittedly, loves chocolate, no. No, it does not.
So he's taken his own personal tastes and decided he can use it as a campaign platform.
Pretty much. He says the biggest chocolate fountain in the world, in the Guinness Book of Records, was owned by Australian chocolatiers Confiseur Wisnitz or something like that.
Yeah, it sounds very Australian.
And it says it was 12.27 metres high. And he says, we will dwarf it, he says. We will do this. Tasmania is a region on a mission. No doubt about it.
I mean, I'm sure a giant chocolate fountain would become, you know.
I would say
it would challenge, you know, the seven wonders of the world, maybe, you know.
I know.
After you've seen the Taj Mahal and Niagara Falls or whatever else.
Wouldn't you love to see it in Ireland, though? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you have people before profit coming
out. You have the Spire and all.
Yeah, but this is it. People before
profit all you have to do is get chocolate to squirt out the top of the Spire. And you'd be sure you'd be laughing.
I know, yeah. Well, who's going to campaign for it? That's the thing. Because you have people come out and they go, immigration, we need to talk about immigration. You have people saying, housing. You know, the state of housing is unbelievable. And then you have people saying, there's people on waiting lists for hospitals for 3 years. They're dying while they're on it. And then you want a fella go, never mind all of that. We've no chocolate fountain on Grafton Street. And I want to vote for him.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone says. Nobody wants to work with their
other half.
Nobody wants to do it. Nobody. Now, there's a survey today that says, like, you know, less than 40 or just over 40% of people have admitted they wouldn't do it.
Right.
Such a lie. It's a 100%er. It is. Those people,
there must be somebody out there
in
who has a business with their other half.
And they hate it. They hate it. I'm telling you now, they hate it and they wish they never did it.
We don't know that.
We do know it, Jim. Well, we do know
087-1818-100. Just let us know, you know, if you work with your life partner, right? If you have a business or your job or whatever, or you work just happen to work. Yeah, because it doesn't have to be your own business, I suppose. You could technically just work with your life partner in the same job.
And be honest now. No one's going to know your name. We're not going to reveal your number. You hate it. You hate it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Do let us know, like, if you think it's good, if it's worked for you.
But here's the thing, right? I would do it 34%. I would not do it 44%. 12% of people said they don't have a partner at all. I bet you there are people who tried it. And then there's a bunch of don't knows because they're single and nobody wants to talk to them. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm telling you now, it's a bad idea. As much as you love someone, and you can really be in love with someone, you can think they're the greatest person in the world, you can absolutely be crazy about them. If you're stuck with them in work, at home, you're going to fall out.
Right.
If you were a born-again Christian and Jesus himself came down from heaven and says, here I am, we're living together and I'm going to go to the church with you every day, after a month you'd say, would you just please, please give me a break? All these parables and miracles, you're doing me head in.
If COVID taught us nothing when you were locked in the house with each other.
Big time.
Having to do your, even if you were working separately, but having to be in the same room working at it.
Yeah, and you're like, if you start breathing again around me, I'll kill you.
Well, here's one that endorses your view, right? This came in from somebody calling themselves Diddley. I had a business with my husband. We're divorced now.
Of course you are.
That's,
and the business is probably thriving in someone else's hands.
Yeah. Well, lads, I worked with my wife Jenny from Coolock for 10 years and it was great. Yeah. Driving to work was sometimes quiet. Well,
there you go now.
But then she'd have to talk to me in work.
That's not great. That's a one-way street. That's not great.
We actually had more time to talk in work than at home with the kids. I'm sure your boss was delighted about that.
I'm going to say something that might get me into trouble.
Right.
Dee and Marty here on Radio Nova.
Oh my God.
Married couple. Right? Really nice.
Yeah, they work successfully together.
Yeah.
And separate shows, obviously.
Yeah, separate shows and everything. And there's a reason for that. That they don't
commute. They did work together. They worked together on a show
past. And what happened? The show is not on anymore. And they now have their own show each. And I'm saying to both of those people, they're the nicest people you'd ever meet. Now, they're very Stepford. They'd never come in and say, that lad's doing my nut in, I'm going to smack his head. They're very,
Iron Curtain.
Very protective of each other.
Yeah.
They don't talk much about what goes on when they leave the studio. And they're right.
Yeah. But mind you, it does mean that the canvas is wide open for you and I to speculate.
Yeah. And let's be honest.
About them all hitting the bottle and everything.
Let's be honest.
That's not true, by the way. That was a joke. Just to point that out. That's
the truth is we have no idea.
Anyway.
And why they decided
Adam
to do
disagree. Adam disagrees with you. Hi, lads. I've been working with my wife almost a year. I've been in the company 16 years now and I like working with my wife. No issues, says Adam.
I want to hear her text. Get her to text in the same now. See how that works out.
What's this? Denise says, worked with my husband for 9 years. We had a great time. Married 30 plus years now. You see that? Hi, lads. Myself and my hubby Darren have worked together since we met and we're almost 30 years together. 24/7. No hassles. It's great, says Joan.
Wow.
See? I married my co-worker and then after a promotion had to make her redundant.
Oh, God.
We're 25 years married. She got a much better job, though.
Well, that, you see,
console yourself with
becomes
that.
Becomes more forgivable
you,
then.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sacking your missus, that's disgraceful.
That's imagine, you know, I have to let you go.
Which bit are we talking about? I have to, the marriage or the job?
Yeah, I have to let you go now. And on the way home, you wouldn't pick up some bread.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
It turns out the whole thing, the whole premise of St. Patrick, it could all be built on a web of lies.
A web of lies. There's still snakes in Ireland. One was spotted there yesterday in Cork.
Unbelievable.
Of course it was spotted in Cork. I'd say they planted it. You know, they just want to be going against the grain as usual, you know.
Yeah.
But they want
to defunct the St. Patrick myth.
They do. It was at a train station, Kent Station, there yesterday. A guy called Colm, he contacted the opinion line of a local radio station.
The opinion line. Call the opinion line now.
And he says, you're not going to believe it. I was walking and they came across a snake. That's what he said.
That was his exact.
We were going to download the clip.
In fact, that was actually, we just played that clip there. That was the actual clip taken from the phone in.
Yeah. He
sounded exactly like that.
He says, I thought it was venomous. Time's going to eat me. From the legs up, the whole lad. Yes, he said. That's the exact clip again.
Exactly. Again, another piece of audio we took.
He was there with his co-worker, Siobhan, and they went out to see the new points in the railway track had been put down. So they thought that would be great crack to do.
Oh, my God.
They're right there at the end of Myrtle Hill.
The best part about that story that unfortunately listeners won't have realised is that as you were reading that out, John, producer John,
yeah,
literally had a look of contempt of like, oh my God, how nerdy are those people?
Yeah, God, oh my God. Go to watch them.
And that's great. That's top of the list,
That's
grade A nerd right there.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
They went to look at the points on a railway track.
The new points had been put up at the railway station. Well, good, I want to have a look at the points. Gee, I heard they're magnificent. And so they went down for them to have a look, yeah.
My God, they are... That's new hero status for you. They're immediately just become leaders in the Dull Man
It's
Club.
Brilliant, isn't it? And then, wait, you see, it goes into dialogue then, right?
Right.
So the dialogue says, we were looking at this and we walked over. Next thing, it moved. Cripes. Right?
Cripes.
I says, what's that? It has to be a snake. You wouldn't expect to see a snake around here. Ireland-like.
Yeah. Right?
And then,
with St. Patrick having gotten rid of them and all that?
So he says he took out his camera to videotape it.
That's
what he said, right?
Brilliant.
And then his head was up 2 inches.
He had his camera with him, obviously, because of the points. He was planning to film the points on the railway track,
which
were new.
So we went to videotape the snake next to the points. And he says, we thought we'd pick it up, but we didn't know if it was dangerous or not. He thought it might be a corn snake. He's an awful lot of information on snakes, this fella.
Yeah.
And then he got close to him and he thought, will I or won't I pick him up? And he decided I'd get a pair of gloves and a bag and I'd put him in the bag. But by the time they got back, they couldn't find him at all. He'd gone. And he won't survive the
weather.
Fair
play to this lad taking all of this on himself, by the way, as opposed to just doing something that most normal people do, which would be to walk up to the actual... you know, train station or whatever and say...
I think there's a snake up there. Yeah. Or most, like, a lot of people go, I'm not doing that.
I'm going to ignore
it. There's so much going on today. The last thing I'm doing is wrestling a snake at a train station.
How big is a corn snake?
Well, about 3 foot long.
That's sizable enough.
Yeah. And he says he was a lovely looking fellow. About 3 foot long. He was frightened. And he was right beside the train track, and I hope to God he isn't dead. So there you go. So members of staff from Fosa Wildlife Park, they went down to have a look and see if they could find the wonderful looking horn snake fella who was about 3 foot long. But alas, they couldn't find him. But thankfully, the Fosa Wildlife Park volunteers did get to see the new points on the train station. Unfortunately, they left without comment.
So
there you go.
So we don't know what happened to the snake.
We don't know. He's gone.
So the snake is still out there.
Yeah,
so we literally need St. Patrick to come back.
To come back and to get him
back. To make an appearance. The second coming of St. Patrick.
Yeah.
In order to kind of get rid of that corn snake that's on the tracks. Did it even delay the trains?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All I can say is God bless everyone who goes to the same pub as Colm Tuig. Because can you imagine? Every man that walks
what
into
that. What a conversation
that
was.
Every man that walks in from now until probably Easter Monday.
Oh.
So I was walking to see the new points.
Yeah.
And there he was, a lovely looking fellow, a corn snake. Everyone's got to hear that story 100 times.
Yeah. And in fairness, somebody has pointed out that if you didn't fully indulge in Colm's nerdiness.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. The idea that he and his fellow female co-worker went out to see the points on the train track.
Train station.
Is that what you were doing? Yes. So you were just in a sort of a generally secluded area looking at points on a railway on a railway line, were you and your female co-worker? Well, yeah. And a snake popped out.
Is there a snake on the railway track? So are you just happy to see me?
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at
InsureMyVan.ie. That's like, hot topics that come up in any relationship, as well. That's always a thing.
Well, there is always that. We've spoken about that a few times. The idea that there'll always be, the old trope about the toilet seat up or down or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then there's, of course...
But I mean, I'd imagine in your household, there's an element of, in relation to, say, for example, the heating. Or the need for hot water.
Well, exactly. This is it. You don't.
And you failing to accept that there is a need for either.
Hot water every couple of days is enough, And I'm not the only one.
Actually, the heating in here. I think us and John are going to come to a major dispute.
There's going to have to be
in relation because, like,
I'm going to have to get a solicitor involved.
I'm going to have to get gloves.
It's going to have to be
my
a solicitor.
Hands are like.
Well, it's come some kind of agreement.
Cold.
Yeah, we'll have some kind of agreement because none of us can agree on what an appropriate temperature is.
And it's unfortunate. The issue in here, quite similar to this story actually, is that John has access to the switches.
Yeah.
That control the heating.
Well,
which means we are powerless.
Do you know there's a case in the courts at the moment about using an immersion switch in a divorce? There's a case in the courts. It's literally happening. A husband has claimed in the court that his wife has breached a sworn undertaking given to the court in relation to the use of an immersion switch in the family home. So they're split up. They're, doing
what's
the divorce.
What's it, Irish style? They're still in the same house?
Yeah, the same side. Because no one can afford to move anymore.
Really?
So it's not even their fault. They're still there with their children and all, but they're doing the whole thing, And now in the family law court, the solicitor, Lorraine O'Callaghan Daly, has said to the judge that there have been breaches of the undertakings given to the court in relation to the use of the immersion switch. This is
so. They went as far as getting an agreement in place about who has access to the immersion switch and when or something.
Yeah.
The court decided when you could switch your immersion.
You're not allowed to turn it off during the day. There's been a decision. And she says her client can go to the stand and he can say categorically that he has not interfered with the immersion switch.
It's probably not funny at all. It's probably a nightmare to be in
Can you
just
imagine?
Saying,
imagine if this is an issue, how hard life is. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So what's the contentious issue? Is one person doesn't like it on too long and the other person wants it on?
Well, and this is the thing. We have to be careful what we say here because the court, I think, is yet to decide.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they've completed, they've done everything they can do. The court, but we're not in breach of the order. It goes on and on. There's a whole article in the paper today about half a page about the use of the immersion switch. It just shows.
Wow.
And I something, I have a feeling I might take Helen to court about this as well. Because I think her
Can you start? Can you do a trial case with John?
Let's take John to court.
I might
even take Jim to court because his he wants to cook us all to death. Basically.
I'd rather not have to, chip ice off my clothing to move to the you know, move the buttons on the desk.
But God forbid, Jim McCabe would, like, you know, would use a jacket. He'll forgo the use of a jacket, even though
I've three layers on at the moment. Three layers on.
Yeah, but this is
in
it.
Here.
But this is it. Put on a fort. Or, you know, so zip up your heels, a zippy top. Zip it up.
This is unbelievable. Into work. I'd rather we were doing an outside broadcast. It would be warmer out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm contacting...
Out on the keys somewhere.
I'm getting the name.
Can we just do an O? Can we do an OB soon, John? Please. So we can, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, this can is we, the way
anyway,
you're
going I'm just
right.
saying.
I'm
just
sorry,
saying.
I'm reading this article to get the name of this listener.
No, well, exactly.
But
can you try even? You don't even have to go to the court. Can we try an industrial tribunal? And we can take John to an industrial tribunal about...
What's that now? Is that sort of like...
It's
trying to avoid like us pretend, all getting into court.
Yeah, it's like a pretend court for
a pretend
people
court.
In business. And we'll take on the basis of cruel and unusual punishment through the use of the air conditioning
use
unit.
Temperature.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem because we're in a trouble here because we have John going on in that room, and then you have you and me. We're the primary couple here, and he's doing whatever he wants to do, and then you and me. This is why I think people voted no in the referendum. Life is complicated enough for two people. Bringing in another person, and then you have temperature, and you have all of this sort of stuff. And cooking and the whole lot.
Yeah.
And then you have arguments. Well, I mean, what are we all... Like, we also have to decide what to watch on Netflix now tonight and everything so we don't come in and have a row about that tomorrow as well.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
There you go. A few of the best bits from during the week on Morning Glory, of course. Now, depending on when you're listening to this, you could be already in the height of the bank holiday, you know, celebrations. You could be.
Absolutely.
Whenever this is, whenever you get your ears around
exactly.
this.
And enjoy the festivities. Enjoy the festivals. Enjoy the parties. Be social.
Enjoy the time off.
Enjoy
if you're
the time
if you're off.
If you see Jim, don't forget, sit down beside him. Have a chat. Buy him a pint and a packet of crisps. Make sure he gets you one back. Spend a couple of hours.
You're a bastard.
Oh, just make sure if he's not wearing green, stick a little hat in his head. You know, don't forget he loves to be called Shamrock Jimmy O'Gorty when he's on Patrick's weekend.
Will you stop? People take this shit on.
No,
people
saying,
hear this and
he's being bashful
and
now.
And they hear you talking.
Don't forget.
And they go, lovely, I'll see him now. I'll hit him with that now.
And don't forget if you see him sing the song, Shamrock Jimmy likes to shimmy at the bar and have a pint. Don't remember.
You,
I tell
you something.
Shamrock Jimmy going to get you, Jimmy.
We're heading for that same divorce court about the immersion
Shamrock
switch.
Shamrock Jimmy, he shakes his willy on Patrick's weekend every year. That's what he does and he has a pint. So don't forget. All that if you see him out and about. He won't be out that long now, will he?
Yeah, that's me stuck in the house the entire weekend.
Don't worry, Shamrock Jimmy. We can shake your willy at home.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.